Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Crossing my fingers and wishing on a star. This is Wretched Radio. Promises have been made. Let's see if the people who made them their promises deliver. About what do I speak? Joe Rogan, you know, the world's number one podcaster, recently had a guest on, and a number of friends and different people sent emails to me at idea at wretched.org saying, you got to listen to this guy, a Navy SEAL. His name is Chad Wright. He's a Navy SEAL. So Joe Rogan, of course, having an affinity with the fellow, brings him in to discuss all things Navy SEAL. Turns out the guy's a believer. And Joe Rogan, recently showing at least an interest in Christian things, started to chat about it. And everybody sent, a lot of people sent me an email saying, you got to listen to this man. It's amazing. So I'm crossing my fingers and wishing on a star, because one of the trends in evangelicalism that has been catching my attention as of late are the number of YouTube videos or the number of podcasts, social media stuff that says this guy shared the gospel with this famous guy. So all excited. I want anybody to get saved. I listen to it and it's like, he didn't share the gospel. May have talked about Christian things, may have talked about the Bible, but it is one thing to talk about Christianity. It's another thing to evangelize. It's a third thing to apologize. All of these are different frameworks for discussing Christianity. You can just chit-chat about it. You can defend it when people start peppering you with questions, or you can press in and share the gospel. And I don't see a lot of the latter. I see a lot of, hey, we're going to defend it. I'll explain to you about manuscripts and archaeological discoveries. But that's different than pressing in to say, hey, this is reality. And you are going to be confronted with it the day you take your last breath. Are you ready? You must consider the claims of Jesus Christ. You don't need to consider the claims of Buddha, Confucius, any of those guys. You don't need to worry about them. Why? Because they really don't care what you believe. Jesus does. He's the one prophet who said, you must believe in me. You must understand me. You must know me rightly, or you will not have eternal life. And because of the impact that he has had, because the Bible, I think it's axiomatic. It demonstrates that it's different than every other book. You got to deal with it. You must consider the claims of Christ, or you're just downright foolish. That is to press in. That is to say, hey, you must repent. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's evangelism. So with that as a preamble, as I wish upon a star, to hope that this guy, Chad Wright, does a great job of actually sharing the gospel. Let's find out together. I haven't heard it. So here we go. Surprise.
I got my hands on a Bible. I started reading in the book of Matthew. I began this was obviously the experience that the Almighty had chosen to call me out of darkness into the marvelous light of his truth.
Like the Bible quoting, that's good stuff.
Open the Bible. I had seen the Bible before. I had, you know, heard it read. I had even read it before in the past, but it was never anything that meant any. I couldn't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What the f*** is this trying to say to me here?
Right.
I began to read in the book of Matthew, and I began to, for the first time in my life, I realized how all of that applied to me.
Isn't that fascinating? That you read the Bible sometimes as an unbeliever when you decide to open it up. You know, you put the binding down and you let the thing flap open, hoping that something in there will be pertinent for your life. It just never makes any sense before you get saved. And then God flips a switch and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is amazing. That apparently is what this fellow experienced. That is, well, that shouldn't be considered common. That should actually be the norm. I didn't get it. Now, I mean, I can read it and kind of understand what's going on. I'm talking about getting it where you are illuminated by it and you believe it. Now, just one comment, if and you don't mind, about this fellow apparently using some sort of potty word. We don't want any Christian to use potty words. Because I think Ephesians 4:28 all the way through Ephesians 5:4 makes it really clear. That's just not the way we're supposed to talk.
So can I interject?
No, you can't.
I put the beep in there.
Because?
It wasn't exactly a horrible word. C-R-A-P. I didn't feel.
You don't like that word.
I don't.
You know what? Some people, okay, so to this fellow, Chad Wright, and I want to be really deferential to the guy because he was a Navy SEAL and he could basically kill me with a look. So I want to be really, but some people don't consider that word to be a bad word.
Right.
But I'm not a fan of it. I think it's coarse. But these days, language changes. Language, in every generation takes on a different emphasis. And if this particular fellow in his context doesn't think that it's a potty word, I'm not going to argue with it. But even if it were like a real, like he dropped a really kind, it's like, no, we all agree that's a swear word right there. It's not an issue that I tend to get all that exercised about. I've just seen it too many times. When the Lord saves somebody, he progressively tends to clean up their mouth. Now, sometimes he just does it automatically, but sometimes it's just a process. Sometimes a lot of people that are born again, they don't even realize that's a bad thing to do and they just haven't been informed. So it's, even if it had been a whopper, it's not one where I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to listen to this guy.
As the hopeless, wicked, ugly, depraved human being that I like, my mind was awakened to my own state.
I haven't heard those words used in a secular talk show for like maybe forever.
Like, I didn't realize how ugly and depraved I was.
Nice.
Like when I passed up on my friend and he killed himself, like I didn't think nothing of that. I just had this revelation of who I was and why I so needed something to save me from that.
Okay. Now I know why people emailed me. That is awesome. Now, he's doing something interesting. He's currently, again, I haven't listened to this, so we'll see where he goes. But right now he's testifying. He's giving apparently a testimony, which I believe can still be evangelistic. Why? Because he's talking about the subject of sin. It is necessary if you're going to evangelize somebody. And he's talking about his own wickedness. Now, Joe can hear that and examine himself. Do I think that it can be, you know, more potent to press it in? Hey, Joe, are you wicked too? Have you broken the law, etc.? But that doesn't mean that a testimony that rightly explains depravity, wickedness, vileness, and guilt and sin can't be effective. And especially when this guy, the way that he's saying it, I actually believe he thought that about himself.
And when I had that revelation, literally by the grace of God opening my making me spiritually alive.
Ephesians 2, anybody? Wow.
Able to discern the scriptures. When I had that revelation, I read about Jesus, his life, his death, why he died according to the scriptures, his resurrection, what that means for me.
Wow.
I It changed everything. Like, literally, I was made a new creature overnight. It's the greatest miracle that God, the Almighty, could ever work, is taking somebody like me who was literally so useless, making me alive, making me a brand new creature, waking up the next day and being completely changed.
Well, that's potent stuff. And do you know why it's powerful? Did you hear the number of Bible allusions, if not outright quotes? That is what makes any sort of evangelistic encounter or testimony stronger, that you don't just use your own words, you use the words of God, because we all know about that two-edged sword business. It cuts unlike anything else. That's Chad Wright sharing his testimony on the Joe Rogan program. And thanks to everybody who said, you should probably listen to this. And I want to keep listening to it because I'd like to hear where he goes. Does he? And look, at this point, I would be fine if he doesn't like press it in hard onto Joe, because again, I do believe a testimony can be evangelistic. Let's see where the seal goes next on Wretched Radio.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go, because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs. You know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event, going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get better at this together, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. It's all the rage. It's the hot talk on the social media internet stuff. Don't want to get all technical with you. But Chad Wright, a Navy SEAL appearing on the Joe Rogan program, has set conservative circles ablaze. Why? Because he did a bang-up job of explaining Christianity. One of my laments, and I have many of them, one of my laments is that we so take for granted the details of the gospel that we forget to share them. We assume people know about it. We'll start throwing in lingo. We'll even mention, for instance, well, you know, the Holy Spirit. And they're like, what's a Holy Spirit? We need to remember that people are a blank slate and we need to fill it in, and not by assuming what words mean. We've got to explain them to people. And the biggest explanation that I see so often lacking when people presumably share the gospel is that they don't really explain the gospel. Kind of talk about it. It's here. It's kind of there. But they never get to the judicial nature of the gospel. That the Bible makes it clear that the gospel of Jesus Christ is basically about the law, law breaking, the just deserts for criminal activity, the punishment we deserve, and what God did to save us from his punishment by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And so often those details are missing. Now, to practice my spiritual gift of hypercriticism, even though I recognize Chad, who's a Navy SEAL, could basically kill me with a toothpick, let me just say at this point, even though he's done a great job of explaining total depravity, he hasn't yet explained the problem with that. What's the issue with looking at porn or gossiping and lying? Why is that bad? What are the consequences for that? Now, perhaps he's going to get there. I hope he does. But I would say at this point, because he's already talking about being in Christ, awesome. And by the way, you can tell where this guy goes to church. I don't know which one it is, but it's conservative because it's clear he's got his theology. He's using the right buzzwords, okay, the right biblical words to, I think, tip his hand. He's going somewhere where they're teaching him well. I would suggest before we talk about Jesus, before we talk about how good it is to be forgiven, we got to explain the problem with being so bad that we need to be forgiven or we're going to jail. And they don't have laptops and cable TV in the cells. We must explain not just the law, not just depravity, but the character and the nature of God, what we deserve and what God has done for us so that we don't get our just deserts. Let's continue listening to Chad Wright on Joe Rogan.
What the Lord's given me experientially in life to share with other people, I'm not telling you this to convince you of anything. Like, there's nothing that I can say to convince you.
There it is. The dude's conservative. He knows that a human being can't convert anybody. And while I even appreciate his statement, I'm not saying this to convert you. Okay, I know that I can't convert anybody, but that's what we want. But I get what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm just telling you my story here, which can be an impactful way to share the gospel.
In the truth of the gospel. Like, I truly believe that. There's no words that I can use. There's no logic that I can apply. There's nothing that I or anyone else can say to convince you of this. And it goes back to what we started off in the conversation with, of these things must be spiritually discerned. And it is by grace, God's grace, that we are made alive and able to discern the truth of these things.
This dude's theology is bang on. I'm sorry, I can't help it. Because whenever I think about sharing the gospel, I tend to kind of get a little bit hypercritical because it's so crucial that we get this thing right. I again wish that he had explained the problem with sin. And as of yet, he hasn't explained what Jesus Christ has done for us. If a testimony doesn't include that, then you've kind of jumped over. So Jesus made me clean. Jesus has helped me to understand reality. All true and good fruits of the gospel, but as of yet, haven't heard the totality of the gospel.
That's a hard thing to accept, man. Like, that man is totally depraved.
Good.
And I can't say anything to convince anyone.
Good. Spiritually dead. Cool.
Of the truth of these scriptures. But the scriptures are dripping, literally dripping with that very fact. That's the interesting thing about the scriptures. They leave nothing for man. Like it's almost the single thing that separates what's contained in the Holy Scriptures from other religious philosophy. It literally leaves nothing for man.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning there is nothing that you can do to be made righteous.
Great stuff.
In the eyes of the Creator. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. As a matter of fact...
Now, the only thing I would say is save yourself from what? Does Joe know that based on this conversation alone?
Without the grace and the help of the Almighty, you can't even believe the truth. You won't do it.
Okay, appreciate this. This is regeneration being explained. I say amen to it, but ask yourself the question, if you were Joe and this is the only conversation you ever heard about Christianity, would you fully understand that you've been saved from the wrath of God because of what Jesus did on the cross? So far, all really great stuff. But if we're going to be focusing on evangelism here, and I'm not being critical of this dude, believe me. So far, awesome stuff. But I'm saying if we're going to evangelize somebody, we want to make sure that it has all of the necessary components for people to fully understand the gospel.
You are spiritually dead prior to regeneration. You see what I'm saying? When you're dead, if we had a dead man laying on the floor right here, and I said, dead man, hearken unto my voice. There is a hospital a mile down the road. And if you'll get up and walk to that hospital or you'll allow me to take you to that hospital, they'll shock you and bring you back to life. Is he going to respond to that message? He's going to lay there dead, right?
Yeah.
We're dead.
Good.
Spiritually until we are made alive by the grace of the Almighty. It leaves nothing for man.
good teaching.
Not a thread. It leaves me not a single thread that I can cling to. And then you look at the whole saga of Scripture. Well, what's this all about anyways? Let's take it all the way back to Genesis, all the way through Revelation and everything in between. The whole saga is to glorify the Son, Jesus Christ.
Good for
What's him. The purpose in me even being saved? It's so that I can be presented to Christ as his bride.
What do you mean by that?
I'm telling you, this is just a different Joe Rogan, isn't it? All right. Chad, in my estimation, knows his theology. And he has done, I've seen a number of different Christians share Christian stuff on the Joe Rogan program. This guy's going deeper than any of them have. Wes Huff did a bang-up job with apologetics. I think that talking about the depravity of sin, Chad is definitely going to a place where I don't think any other has, at least not to that degree. Furthermore, explaining different doctrines, the glory of God, going back to creation. This is about being the bride of Christ so that God can be glorified for sending his son to die for sinners. He's given theology to Joe. So from that perspective, I would say, based on what we've heard so far, this is really great stuff, really good stuff. Now, to be specific, and this probably isn't the reason the guy even went on the show, has he fully shared the gospel? I'm not asking this so that I can pick a nit, but because it's so important, if we're thinking in terms of evangelism, and again, that's probably maybe, I don't know where the guy was at. He was doing a great job of explaining theology and regeneration. But if we're going to explain the gospel, we need to make sure we've got who, what. Who is God? Who am I? What should he do with me? What has he done for me? And what should my response be? Those are the components that must be in a gospel proclamation. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. Well, the Trump administration continues to deliver on religious liberty promises, with the Office of Personnel Management issuing guidelines last week that explicitly protect federal workers' rights to display Bibles, crucifixes, and other religious items in their workspaces. And the chief of the Office of Personnel Management said no federal employee should be forced to choose between their faith and their federal service. Meanwhile, across the Atlantic, an 86-year-old German priest is making that exact choice as he has formally severed ties with the diocese after they embraced same-sex blessings and promoted a local LGBT pride parade. The priest also didn't mince any words, calling all pride parades symptoms of a morally unleashed society and reminding church leaders that pride was humanity's original sin. And now to Pennsylvania, where we see a horrifying case where a registered sex offender managed to obtain an infant boy through surrogacy. Brandon Mitchell, convicted of sexual abuse of children and possession of child pornography, exploited legal loopholes that don't even exist in traditional adoption. Live Action was quoted as saying, "No vetting process is required for surrogacy. Anyone with money can buy a child." Definitely tragic. And speaking of child protection failures, a South Carolina family is suing Delta Airlines after an employee stole their child's iPad and began uploading pornographic videos to the family's iCloud account. The perpetrator took selfies in his Delta uniform while committing these acts, creating his own iTunes profile and Amazon account labeled gay on the family's device. What makes this especially disturbing is that Delta initially deflected responsibility, claiming the man worked for a vendor rather than the airline directly. Okay, like that matters. The global retreat from Christian faith continues to accelerate, with new Pew research showing four countries, the UK, Australia, France, and Uruguay, having lost their Christian majorities between 2010 and 2020. Christians now comprise minorities in 120 of 201 nations surveyed, down from 124 just a decade ago. And now to Massachusetts, where Springfield College recently expelled a Catholic medical student for objecting to observe a second trimester abortion. Despite receiving positive grades, administrators launched what Hurt lawsuit calls a campaign against her, ultimately dismissing her for allegedly failing rotations she actually passed. Her crime? Asking for advance warning about procedures that violated her conscience. And the medical establishment's authoritarian streak, well, it extends to childhood vaccines as well, with the American Academy of Pediatrics now demanding complete elimination of religious and philosophical exemptions. And that wraps up the Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, I cheated, but not a lot. This is Wretched Radio. Chad Wright, a Navy SEAL, appearing on the Joe Rogan program, talking about all things Navy SEAL, all things hunting, physical fitness. But then it turned to a conversation about Jesus Christ. And this guy has done a very swell job of explaining, I think, presenting Christianity is deeper and more profound than what I think he's heard from most. They've talked about it. They've shared some nuggets. He's going into the guts of Christianity here. It appears he's staying away from apologetics and he's evangelizing by sharing testimony, which in my estimation is a perfectly valid way to share your faith. Here's what God did for me. I'm tripping through life thinking I'm pretty spanky. Suddenly, I had a confrontation with PU myself, and I reeked. The odor that I was emanating was sin. What is sin? It's a violation of God's law. I realized I was a lawbreaker. I didn't honor God. I didn't love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I dishonored my parents. I lied. I lust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I did all of these terrible things, and I knew it. And something told me if my court case goes to trial, I'm in big trouble. And I had every reason to believe that was true because the Bible says there is a day appointed unto each of us where we must give an account. And I knew that thought, word, and deed, it was going to find me guilty. And God should do exactly what you would expect a just judge to do. But then I heard some great news that he sent his son to take my crimes upon himself and be punished on my behalf. Now, that's a testimony that has all the components of the gospel. So a testimony can be an effective way to witness. Now, I think the preference is that you're pressing it in, but when you're in a setting where it's like, you know, I'm just, if I go that, like, it's just not gonna, or it's not the right context, or in this instance, you've got Joe Rogan and a worldwide audience. He's sharing a testimony and he's being more theological than others. And I'm super grateful for that. This is going to help Joe a lot. And I hope it shows him there's more to Christianity than just stories about Jesus feeding thousands of people. Chad writes now because Jimmy told me that at apparently 23 minutes into this clip.
Yeah, and you got to keep listening for 4 or 5 minutes, but.
All right. Happy to do that because my critique so far, and we'll see if my critique gets removed, is that he's explained what a total sinner he was, what a totally depraved man he was, and that he got saved by Jesus. But did you notice some stuff is missing there? It's all of the necessary components of the gospel. Now, Jimmy, according to you, you're going to get there, but I queued it up to 23 minutes. You see if you can pick up on what he's doing here. It's pretty clear they were talking about the Shroud of Turin.
The physical body, like is being transposed onto that shroud, whether it's real or not. Have you ever thought about this?
He's changing the subject. I love that.
Yep.
Dude, that's a guy, you know, he's got that Southern accent and he sounds all laid back. He's not. He knows what he's doing here. He's controlling the conversation. And you can do that too. If you find yourself off in the weeds of an evangelistic encounter, just rip it back. And very rarely does somebody go, wait a second, we were talking about the Shroud of Turin. And you're suddenly switching the subject. They just, like a fish that got caught with a hook, they just go with it. Well done, dude.
If you think about going back to talking about death and why do we have to die? Why is it a necessity for all humans? Well, the scripture tells us that for human, the reason that we must die is because of sin, right?
All right.
That started with the
Good.
Very first sin of man and woman in the very beginning, right? Because scripture tells us that man was created to exist eternally in the beginning, the human physical form. But when man sinned...
Jimmy, I'm so grateful for you.
Aww.
Oh, that hurt a lot. He's getting there. He's getting into it. I'm really happy to hear this. He's now explaining what sin is. Never assume somebody knows what sin is, because everybody's morality, it is subjective. Nobody ever commits any sort of objective crime, certainly not against God. Good. He's explaining it because we need to.
A lot of things happened. Death, that's the moment. Scripturally, that's when death entered the equation. So this sin is a big problem.
Nice.
Like that is nice. The genesis of death entering the equation and becoming a reality for all men.
Nice, dude.
I wonder a lot what happened when that sin caused death in man. It's almost like it changed man's genetic makeup. It's almost like man was created in the beginning to exist in a physical body eternally, meaning he had perfect genetics, right? He could exist, nothing decayed. He could continue on for all eternity. He also had the ability to be in the presence of the Almighty. In some way, the human brain could interact with the Almighty. But when sin entered the equation, it's almost like man's genetic code was marred and death entered the equation and we began to age.
Now, again, I'm wanting this to happen. I want to hear him hopefully explain that sin, it didn't just introduce death. Why? But why? Why? Because it's a violation of God's law and the perfect was now sullied. And the consequence for sin is death. Let's see.
And it even, when I think about it along those lines, it's totally theoretical, by the way. That's how we inherit our sinful nature is because the result of sin actually changed the genetic makeup of man's physical body.
Cool. But it's also a violation of God's law. Therefore, we're lawbreakers, we're criminals, we deserve a sentencing. Jimmy, is my wish gonna come true?
In a way.
All right. Look, somebody doesn't need to say things exactly the way that I do. I prefer that, of course, but that's not necessary. So let's see what he gets to here.
And therefore, by necessity, he now has to die because he ages. And also, we lost our ability to perceive the Almighty and to actually converse with him. We lost something in our brain. Right. That's why I wonder about that.
By the way, that's the noetic effect of the fall. Our brain talk about brain damage. That's what happened at the fall. Every aspect of our brain no longer functions to full capacity.
EMT stuff. Mm. We lost something in our brain that originally allowed us to see into this other realm and converse with this almighty being. We lost the ability to do that. Because of sin, which brings me to the body of Christ. The interesting thing about the body, physical body of Jesus Christ, he was the only man, according to scripture, who ever fulfilled the law of God completely and perfectly, which means his physical body, his literal physical body, was not affected by sin, which is the thing that is causing all of us to die by necessity. And I just wonder if that physical body, if the body of Christ, if Christ would have grown to maturity, which he did, which was when he started his ministry, was full adult maturity. I wonder if he would not have been crucified, if he could have lived in that physical body forever, if the aging process would have stopped and he would have never had to die because the effects of sin were not upon him. The curse was not upon him.
Speculation. I don't think this is moving us forward a ton.
And it makes me think about that body because they took his body off the cross, laid it in the tomb. When we die, our bodies begin to go through decay very quickly. You've seen that killing animals. You kill something within a few hours. Starts to get kind of blowed up, stiff as a board. After about a day, it stinks, all nasty. He died. They put him in that tomb. He was there for 3 days. That body didn't decay. The spirit then re-entered that same body. And that body, that same body, rose up and eventually ascended into heaven. He took that body with him into this other realm.
Jimmy?
Yes?
You said he was going to get to explaining the consequences of sin.
Well,
we'll find out if Jimmy is right. Don't take that bet. The odds are horribly against that thing. Next on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Crotts, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Crotts shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Crotts has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Crotts. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is El Roi, the God who sees. God is ultimately aware and concerned for us. Nothing escapes his vision. For the unsaved, this is a great terror. But for those who are in Christ, this is a great comfort. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, please enter the courtroom to defend yourself. This is Wretched Radio. All right, dude, you said this little snippet that we just heard of Chad Wright, a Navy SEAL appearing on the Joe Rogan program, explains the gospel more fully because he's talked about being totally depraved. He's talked about being saved because of Jesus Christ. Good and good, but my encouragement is that we color the picture more. We got to explain what sin is, the consequences, God's character, why we should go to hell, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And you said this little snippet that we just heard explains that. I said, I'm not hearing it. Well, defend yourself. You say it does.
Well, I think in a way that it does. I think the components of the gospel are there. I think explain how we're totally depraved. I think he explained death, burial, and resurrection. He explained sin. I think all of that was there. I think this guy, honestly, is brilliant because of who he's talking to. I think he is very strategic in how he is saying things to Joe Rogan.
I totally agree
with
that.
Who overthinks everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So that's true.
Yeah, I think he did a brilliant job. Now, he may not have directly said everything that we would say and how we would say it, but
that's a good warning that somebody doesn't say it exactly the way that I do. We can be too critical inappropriately because it didn't come out the exact way that we've learned how to say it or that we practiced. I grant you that. I just want to make sure. I don't think that I'm being hypercritical in this regard. There that we can leave no room for confusion. Yeah, you and I can kind of get what he's doing, but with somebody who doesn't know anything about it, no. Yeah, it's like want to sell somebody a car who knows nothing about automobiles, and you explain tires. Yep, that's true. You explain a steering wheel. Cool. So do you want to buy a car? Well, no, that's interesting information. Why wouldn't you want to buy a car? Because I don't know about a tire and a steering wheel, and I don't think that I need a tire and a steering wheel. Okay, well, so what if I tell you that those wheels are connected to a body where you get to sit in luxury in a climate-controlled cabin, and that steering wheel is connected to those tires, which will take you in whatever direction you want because there's an engine underneath the hood, which you'd have to explain, that will actually transport you from point A to B way faster than walking. Okay, now I'm starting to get what a car is. But if I'm a car clean slate, I can't just explain different parts of the car and expect people to understand the entire object. And the same thing is true with the gospel. How was that illustration, Jimmy? Could I have done better on that one?
No, it was good.
Okay. All illustrations limp. That one was like totally handicapped. The point is, we've got to make sure that we're really clear. Jimmy defends himself, says he is. Let's continue with Chad Wright.
It just makes me wonder, like, what the human body was like in the beginning when we were created perfectly with this mental ability to interact with this other realm, converse with the Almighty, the absence of sin. In other words, our genetics were perfect.
Again, the effects of sin, but we really need to explain the nastiest effect of sin is that it is a sin against a holy God.
Human body was perfect. It would not die.
So this is if you're taking the Old Testament absolutely and literally. And if you do that, what do you think about evolution?
Okay, they're going to go down a rabbit trail. That's for sure. Now, what? You got something?
Yeah.
What?
It's later in the video.
Where?
Go to a...
this is professional.
I know. Go to about the 51-minute mark.
See, here's the problem with me not listening to something in advance. I wanted to be all surprised and stuff. All right, you said go to 50... Okay, I'm at 51.
Five. And it was... It's funny. It was by the Almighty's sovereign, immutable will that he chose the cross.
Okay.
As to be the story of redemption for man. It's funny that he chose the cross and he did it for his own good pleasure. He chose to destroy the wisdom of man by a message that is seemingly foolish. It's so backwards. He chose to destroy man's wisdom, our natural man's wisdom, right? All the great things that man has done and known and discovered. He chose to destroy all of that by this foolish message of the cross.
I do need to inject, Jimmy, based on your observation, he's trying to put this in a Joe Rogan kind of context. I think that's helpful for Joe because he thinks philosophy, he thinks wisdom, mm-hmm. perhaps experience, that's the ultimate. And what he just heard is very counterintuitive, that all of the wisdom stuff that we esteem as being wise is actual foolishness. That's helpful for Joe. Still want to hear crystal clarity on sin and judgment, wrath, and Jesus on the cross, forgiveness of sins because he paid our fine for us.
For his own good pleasure. Because man, in his wisdom, did not know God when he came here in the body, in the person of Jesus Christ. They actually killed him. So he said, I'm going to destroy y'all's natural wisdom with this message of foolishness.
What is that message?
Kind of comedic.
It is. So if it really did happen, it's the most bizarre way to get a message across.
It's the most bizarre way that you could ever, like literally even imagine, man.
Now, and imagine you trying to explain to people your experiences with whatever you encountered in those barracks. And people hearing that, like, it's the problem with unique experiences that are completely outside of the norm. Well, what's more outside of the norm than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ being actually the Son of God? Like, imagine trying to explain that to people. They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Got to tell you, this is, it's, Joe, the Lord is working on him. Maybe he's done a work in him, but this dude is different.
There's this guy, his name is Jesus. Like, shut the like, what are you, in a multi-level marketing scheme?
Okay, maybe not yet.
What are you talking about, man? This guy want money from you? Like, what is this guy? This guy wife? Like, what's going on?
Geeks.
No, man. It's not like that. Like, okay. Right. But if it really is true, you would be stuck. You'd be stuck with this story. And you can't leave that part out. No, you're commanded to tell the entire story. So you have this conundrum.
Yeah. All right,
this part is going to sound crazy, but...
You summed it up well, Joe.
Of what was just said. All right. All that to say, unless you've got another place I need to go.
No.
Look, again, this guy has done a finer job than anyone I've heard talking about the rich textures of Christianity. And perhaps because this thing went on for well over an hour.
Yeah, I think Joe Rogan got more of the gospel than he ever has.
I think he got more theology than he has. Mm-hmm. But again, my definition of the gospel is, and you know what? If you think that I'm wrong on this, and I am being just too picky, you send me an email to idea@wretched.org. But I don't think that the totality of the gospel has been presented, because of all of the components that are missing. Okay, let's go back to 101 illustrations. Doctor walks into the room, the patient is sitting there, and the doctor says, hey, I just want you to know, man, I'm telling you, I had maladies, I had trouble, and I took this pill. It made me so much better. Here, take the pill. And the patient, if he's thinking at all, would say, well, hold on a second. I don't think I have those maladies. Furthermore, what happens if I don't take that pill? Without explaining, well, we've done some tests, and what it indicates is that you too have this malady. And this malady, it's going to kill you. And if you do not take the prescription for it, you're going to die. Now, that's a basic illustration that we use to, I think, reveal the necessity of the law in evangelism. Without that explanation of what the law is, what the law represents, what the law does, and how Jesus fulfilled the law, satisfies the law, and takes the punishment for lawbreakers, it's not a full gospel presentation. Are the words that this man spoke to Joe Rogan going to return void? Absolutely not. Am I grateful that he went in his kind of southern sort of way? He went deeper and more theological? Absolutely. Do I think that this is going to help Joe's understanding of Christianity? Yeah, I do. I'm merely stating that when we say we preach the gospel, we need to make sure that we're actually preaching the totality of the gospel. Having said all of that, Chad, if you're listening, please don't kill me. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.